This is Dave.
And this is Jake.
From Minus a Bear.
And you're listening to Sound Sessions.
Yes. Doesn't get any better than that.
All right, do that.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Sound Sessions. As always, I am Kevin, and I am absolutely thrilled to be joined here by Dave Knudsen and Jake Snyder of Minus the Bear. Guys, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks you. Thank you indeed.
So we're here. You guys are on tour for the new album, Voids. I've listened to all your albums, and I've found that while you guys, your sound grows, and you kind of derivate here and there and try new things, but you still have your own sound. How does the newer album, how is it any different, or is it still more of the same for Minus the Bear?
I think there was a lot of different inspiration for this record, and the writing process was certainly totally different than any other previous album. I was kind of, part of it was looking back and kind of for some of the guitar, for the guitar stuff, I was went back to some of my more tapping and sampling roots, where I got away from those a little bit on some of the previous records, but trying to do them in a new, different way. And I think this record kind of coalesced with just like a mix of styles and techniques and riffs that that made this album what it is.
Yeah, concur.
I agree.
I want to touch on the song titles in general, and maybe you guys have been asked about this, but I find that, you know, earlier titles such as "Hey, Want to Throw Up? Get Me Naked" or "Monkey Knife Fight." You guys are kind of having fun, right? You're not taking yourselves too seriously. And then "Planet Ice" comes around, and it seems maybe that the song titles are a little more serious, or you're taking yourselves a little more seriously. Is there anything to that?
It was too much text has been taken up by the song title thing. Song titles, sure, there were a couple funny ones, but there's also like records of music that we made, and so why people would focus on, we just took the focus away from the song titles because it was just like, why are you looking at, right, why is that half the text of a review,
right,
who cares?
Exactly, like, yeah. You roll through a town and you pick up the weekly paper and it's like, the band with the funny song titles is playing at this venue, but it has no sort of like, it doesn't say anything about what the music sounds like. So we got tired of seeing that stuff. Plus, like a lot of other, the whole long, funny song title thing just kind of got old because everyone was doing that. Mm. So it was just like, let's just pare it down. And sure, we can have like a funny joke that's an in-joke for us that's maybe shorter, but we don't need to have like a whole sentence worth of of text for a song title.
So I guess you were finding that people maybe weren't taking you as seriously just because you had these goofy titles, whereas the music itself is definitely serious.
Yeah, I guess so. When you call a radio station to ask for a song or something, you're not going to say, if you hear Monkey Knife Fight, you're not going to say, I want to hear Monkey Knife Fight, if you don't know the title, because the words aren't in the song anywhere. Like, it just doesn't have any
correlation. Yeah.
So there are various reasons, but yeah, I mean, like, who cares?
Yeah. Sure. Well put. Speaking of that, some of the earlier works, and I mentioned as we were gearing up, I've seen you guys before, and you close with Pachuca Sunrise. A little backstory there. I mean, it's a beautiful song, and I'm sure you guys are talked to about it all the time. I worked at a retail shop, and they started playing that song, and I was so worried that it was going to get played out to me. It didn't. I got out of there in time, thank God. But with that same thought, does it ever get played out for you? I mean, that's obviously probably the quintessential currently Minus the Bear song.
I mean, we've certainly played it countless times.
Sure.
I mean, I think ultimately for me, it's fun to play because I get a kick out of seeing the reaction from people in the crowd when we play it. So, musically, I love the song, and it's a great song. If we didn't play it again, I don't know what I'm trying to, like, I just like seeing the reaction from the crowd. Like, last night there was, like, you know, you see, like, couples do this, you know, like, get close,
sure.
And you see, like, other people just, like, lose their minds and, facial expressions and everything, so, I don't know. I mean, I enjoy that aspect of it.
Okay.
But I can still appreciate it.
Anything to add on that, Jake?
Personally, I can take it or leave it, you know? Like, that song, we've played a million times, and there's a lot of other songs that we could play, but that one just still ends up on the set list for that reason. It's a fan favorite, so... Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the song that kind of... We made the video for it, and after the video came out, that's, like, kind of what triggered a lot of the Menocell Oso... Mm-hmm. Purchases, I suppose, because that was, you know, back when people bought music. But that, you know, that triggered a whole, kind of bunch of fans for us. So, you know, that was a lot of their first introduction to the band. So it means a lot to them.
I want to get into a little bit with the gear, or into the gear with you guys a bit. I don't want to say you guys necessarily pioneered it, but you're obviously really into the gear. You do a lot of looping and live looping and things like that, and it seems to be getting more and more popular nowadays. How do you guys feel? I mean, you were doing it very early, both of you. I mean, is there anything you can say about that?
I wouldn't say we pioneered that at all. I mean, I guess, I was kind of at the point where we were doing the sampling stuff, like ripping off, like, Fortet and Caribou and EDM artists like that, and just trying to make my guitar sound like anything but a guitar. And that's kind of where that whole vibe kind of originated from. I don't know, it's just a fun way to play. I love seeing people do that. Like, the opening band on this tour, Bayonne, is just one single, you know, musician, and he samples his vocals. He has two drums and a cymbal. He samples those.
Cool.
You know, he has a keyboard that he samples, and he's building this incredible soundscape / song just based on loops. And I'm totally a sucker for that, so I'm loving watching him every night.
Very cool.
What about, I know that, you know, being a gear guy myself and having played live music, with the plethora of gear comes gear issues. Do you guys ever suffer from those in live settings?
Never.
That's gotta be a lie.
yeah, we do. It happens. We have to keep multiple backups of certain pedals, and it's a tough... It's tough when you... The more things you have, the more points of failure you can have.
Exactly.
You gain, so... I don't know. Just an inevitability of a system that gets complicated.
Yeah. And I mean, on this tour, I actually kind of pared down. I mean, my board is still enormous, but it used to be even bigger. And I feel very... I'm not even going to talk about this because it's going to be bad luck. So, but I know, I mean, just like sometimes, like to Jake's point, like, you know, the more gear you have, you know, the more chances that something's going to mess up is. So, you know, I guess just like... finding the sweet spot between being able to be creative yet also, having your rig run efficiently is, maximizing what you actually have on your board is something that I've been trying to do, and hopefully we'll even get better at.
I think you guys are pretty good at it overall. I will say, as a fan, you know, I've seen Russian Circles, which I think you guys must know. I saw them once. I've seen them multiple times, but one of the times I saw them, Mike was having gear issues. And as a musician, seeing that live, it was kind of like, that's cool to see, because I've suffered that, and I know what it's like to go through that. So it's like a reassuring thing, I guess you could say, you know?
Yeah, it's like, we're just, we're just dudes.
Right.
We suffer like the rest of you.
Right, exactly. Right.
We recently had on the show M. Ward, and we were talking about if the gear mindset, because I feel like it's at an all-time high where all the kids are going out and buying all the gear. Do you think there's ever going to be an antithesis of that where it's just the opposite and we're going to go back to the M. Ward style where it's just a guy and a guitar?
Yeah, totally. Sure. I mean, it's an attractive proposition, the simplicity of just kind of writing and performing in a more simple fashion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that... And it's... portable, and it's cheaper, and you know, there's a lot of advantages to that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain amount of realness to that too. It's just like you and an acoustic guitar, instead of having an army of pedals. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot more, not necessarily authenticity, but I don't know. It's like a genuine sort of earnest like way to present yourself.
For
so
sure.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of artists already doing that now.
A lot of the things with like effects pedals is it can be inspiring or a way to get out of a rut, like a creative spark where just a sound or a delay will send you in a different writing direction. So it's hard to get rid of those things, though. You know, it's hard to simplify. I've gone way simpler in my stuff, and I just have basically like gain, phase, and delay, and reverb. And but yeah, I still feel like it almost benefits the writing side of things more than, like, once you get actually out there, you could almost strip back things after you use the inspiration they give you to
get the end product. Yeah. And I mean, you know, a lot, I guess, you know, writing for us or for this band, it kind of goes both ways, because sometimes it'll be, you know, you'll get this creative spark from some sort of effect or tone or something, and then other times it's like a song is just written on, like, an unplugged acoustic guitar. You know, or like a just, or I mean, an unplugged electric guitar and an acoustic guitar. And I mean, that's when you really know you have something, is if it just sounds great without being amplified and affected. And then from there, I mean, that's sometimes, those are some of my favorite songs when this, you know, the material is just written bare bones and then you kind of add to it.
Well, it's also interesting because I know you guys put out a couple acoustic albums. It's really cool to hear the contrast between, okay, this is heavily affected, and then you strip it down and it's still a beautiful song.
Yeah, and those are fun, kind of like reimaginations of those tunes. Yeah. I mean, I've enjoyed doing both those acoustic records.
It's reassuring to know that you can take all that stuff away and have, still have the meat.
Yeah. So you guys formed in 2001, is that correct? So we're looking at about 16 years of playing together.
Yeah.
How are you doing that? How do you guys not get sick of each other? How do you keep the relationship, and how do you get the juices keep the juices flowing and all that?
I don't know. It's been, I mean, the last few years between the last album, we're certainly trying, and there were moments where maybe, you know, things could have
disintegrated,
just gone away.
I think it's a commitment level, you know. It's kind of everybody's in it for everybody else's benefit, and it's... Everybody, like, we all have better lives when the band's doing well and everything's, when we're working, when we're on the road, when we're making records and stuff. And we rely on each other for that. So it's like, you know, it makes it very worthwhile to work everything out when it does become contentious between members. And
in the last few years, you know, I think the vibe of the band has improved. You know, I think, you know, things have changed and people have matured and grown and done stuff, and you know, I think we're at a very good place in our band where we're all comfortable with each other. We all, I don't know, there's no BS, you know. It's not like there's a bunch of drama.
Sure.
It's just nice, and we play music, and that's, I think we're all also appreciating that we get to play music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
cool thing.
You know, whereas like 7-8 years ago it was like, whoa, you know, and now it's like, okay, like, this is awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, actually.
Let's not spoil this.
Well, looking back, you know, comparing now to when you guys first started going, you know, or got going, how is it any different, if at all? I mean, I know I'm seeing wedding rings and families, but what else is different?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we started, like, everything was... We started with... You barely had a cell phone on tour, and maybe... People didn't, like, a few people had cell phones in the band, and we were sleeping on people's floors and just doing these very DIY style kind of tours and shows, art spaces and all that. And you know, downloading wasn't a huge issue at the time.
It was barely a thing.
Yeah, and it was CDs ruled the day. You could sell the things. And yeah, so it's just the whole entire music industry's changed, and the way bands function has changed, and the way that bands release music has changed, and the relationship between us and, you know, the label or all that is different as everybody tries to figure out how to make it continue to move forward without being able to have a tangible product to sell. Yeah. I mean, maybe vinyl saves the day.
I mean, it is funny because, I mean, we, like, right now, if you were going to start a new band, like, probably one of the first things you'd do is get a manager, right? But, like, we, like, went through a whole process of, like, should we get a manager? Should we not? I mean, and this was, like, in 2007. You know what I mean? Like, we've been a band for like 6 years. You know, it's like, just the way the music industry works, like, to Jake's point, is another thing that's changed that's not just a personal, you know, the personal stuff, inter-band stuff.
It seems to have come up a couple times now, just in us talking, the state of the music industry, streaming and things and all, like things like that. What are your thoughts on streaming in general?
It's an inevitability. I mean, it is a thing. It's happening. So,
I mean, ultimately, I think we gained a lot of fans back when, like, you know, file sharing and BitTorrent and all that stuff. Like, we got we gained a lot of fans just because our music was being shared and passed along with other people. So, I guess streaming is like the next logical extension of that. So to that end, like, it's just, you know, a reality that, you know, you hope you can use that those streaming services to reach as many people as possible, and you kind of got to play that game. Yeah. So,
Jake, you'll have to pardon me for a second here, because I'm a little up, I'm a little more up on your musical history with Botch and things like that, but I know you are also involved previously. Botch has gone on to put up, you know, These Arms Are Snakes, Russian Circles, Minus the Bear, Narrows, and so many more, and plus all these other great acts that are coming out from the Seattle, you know, upper northwest area. What's going on over there? Why is that scene putting out such great music consistently?
Because it rains a lot, and you just go to your rehearsal space, and you, like, write stuff, and you can't go outside. I mean, you can go outside, but, you know, it's like, I don't know, there's, it's also really nurturing. There's a lot of cool venues, and, you know, back in the, you know, old man, I sound like old man Dave, but, like, back in, like, the mid-90s and early aughts, you know, you'd have, like, a lot of DIY punk spaces, and you'd meet people. I mean, Jake actually recorded the first Botch 7-inch in his parents' garage.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, recorded a lot of old Seattle area bands back in the day on bad equipment in bad, in a garage. Yeah.
It's really interesting to me that, to look, though, at, like, what Botch was, and you were recording them, you were obviously involved with that, and then what you guys are now, it's like night and day. I mean, why were you purposely trying to write something way different than Botch?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, some of those Botch tours were totally insufferable with, like, the opening acts and, like, five metal bands before, you know, it was just like, and it's the same BS. And then just being inspired by other music and wanting to not have to be super brutal and heavy and scream all the time, you know? Well, I still love that stuff, but, you know, that ran its course, and then, you know, I wanted to, you know, do something else, and that's what, you know.
Well, it's working. is there anyone, I know you mentioned your opener you're really impressed by, but anyone else that's kind of doing the music thing today that you guys are really into?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. So many fantastic artists. Like, all our friends' bands are fantastic. Helmsley and Circles and Constant Lovers. And
there's a drummer dude that I love, D'Anthony Parks.
Yeah. I feel like I know that.
Who, he has, like, a sampler and then just plays with one stick, and he just plays everything by himself, and he just writes the most insane, awesome beats, and his samples are out of this world. I haven't seen him yet, but the first chance I get, I'm going to go and probably look like someone listening to Pachuca Sunrise.
All right, on the other side of the coin, what about some guilty pleasures? Is there, like, a Miley Cyrus or anything like that that you can stomach?
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm almost, a lot of my stuff is what a lot of other people would consider guilty pleasures, maybe.
Like?
Well, everything's, like, all that stuff is hip now, like Steely Dan and Doobie Brothers.
But, like,
and
when you, like, a few years ago, it was
But I listened to a lot of that Tove Lo artist, and that seems kind of in the.
But that's, like, super.
It's
cool.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, that's not a guilty pleasure.
Like, for example, I like Fergalicious and Glamorous. Like, Fergie, she's a guilty pleasure of mine. I wouldn't normally talk about it, but yeah.
I mean, I like Katy Perry.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, there you go.
Right.
So, I mean, some of it's really bad.
Yeah.
So, you gotta pick and choose.
Right.
Won't keep you guys too much longer here. When you're not doing the music thing, I know you're probably spending time with your family. What else do you guys like to do just for fun?
Oh, I listen to a lot of records, actually. I'm kind of a hi-fi nerd, so I get into that stuff. And then mainly just hanging out with my kids as much as I can.
The whole kid thing has been kind of I mean, obviously life-changing. Yeah. But, yeah, just, like, hanging out, seeing him experience things for the first time is, you know, like, really cool to see him, you know, get excited about stuff and then...
They're a real time suck.
And one more for you. When you guys do come to Chicago, I don't know how often you get here, but is there anything, like, on your list, I gotta go do this thing when I'm in Chicago?
I don't know.
Not really.
I mean, I want to get some street meat later.
Street meat?
Yeah, I get like a Chicago dog or something.
You probably won't be able to find that on the street.
Damn it.
There's not like street vendors. That's not really a thing anymore.
Is it not?
You're close to Portillo's, and that's really good.
Okay, all right. And we went to
Kuma's. Almost depends on the neighborhood and like where the which venue we're at.
We used to go to Kuma's.
Yeah, we used to.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Hot Dogs, but that's gone.
That's gone. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, we love playing Chicago. It's always a great time, so that's just kind of the highlight of the trip itself.
Yeah. Well, we love having you guys, so thank you for your time today, Jake and Dave. Really appreciate it. Midnight on the beach in the Mediterranean, and I miss you.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.